Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, I want to jump right into what I have tonight, because I just really believe that we are right now in need of what the Bible has given us in our season of life, in the state of our country, like we've never been before. We're living in an information age. Now, I'm just going to tell you that I went through, and I'm still amazed by all the information that can come in on our phone. In fact, what do they call it? I got a text last week, and I thought this was pretty funny. We have a smartphone, right? Smartphones. Have you heard that we have smart TVs? So we have smart TVs and smartphones. But here's what we don't have, and they were very, very, this is profound why they didn't call them this. They're not called a wise phone, nor are they called a wise TV. And I think that that's appropriate because wisdom doesn't come out of them. Now, you can get some things out of them, but wisdom comes from the Lord. Tonight, I want to open up and start teaching on the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. The Lord has given us wisdom, and He gave us so much through the book of Proverbs. I mean, this year, if we're going to see ourselves as essential, God's people have to learn to operate in wisdom. And wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. So if you don't have any knowledge, you don't have the ability to use any of it. I mean, that's a profound statement. So we've got to get some knowledge based on the Word so you can have some wisdom. And if you get some knowledge, then you can use it. And if you're using the knowledge from God, then you are operating in wisdom. That's the way I see Scripture. The outline of Proverbs, chapters 1 through 9, is wisdom and folly, and it's exemplified by two women. Both are calling on us. Wisdom's calling on us, and folly, and we're going to get into that tonight. Chapters 10 through 15 is a series of contrasts between the life of wisdom and the life of folly. And then the end of it, 16 through 31, gives counsel on how to live every area of our life. And so I want you to know there's so many tools in this. But I ended last week, and I introduced it, but I needed to get this point out that I didn't talk about last week. And so I'll start with it tonight. The book of Proverbs is full of principles, not promises. We talk about promises from the Word of God all the time. But in the book of Proverbs, the Bible teaches principles, not promises. But the Bible's full of principles and promises. And I just want to make sure that we understand, as we're giving generalized statements, that's what the book of Proverbs is giving, and they are generally true. You say, well, they're not all true? Mm-mm. See, they're principles that we can live by. But you got to know that there's not a promise that's attached with the principle each time. For example, let me just give you an example that makes sense here. Proverbs 17:17, a lot of people know this verse. It says, a friend loves at all times. But the fact is, this is not a promise because friends can mess up. A friend loves at all times. That's not a promise. That's something that we need to understand. A true friend generally does that, but you can know that there are people you look at as a friend and then they didn't love you and you're like, what happened? Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. Now, for the most part, if you're married, you can know that that's probably some real truth there, but it's in principle. Because Jesus answered softly and was crucified. So I want you to understand, as we are studying this, we're studying principles of the Word, and over time, doing it over and over again, I do believe that there is some real wisdom that the knowledge of them will produce wisdom as you act on them, and wisdom will produce a better life than operating out of foolishness. So I just wanted to set that up. Proverbs has two main things and a bunch of minor ones, but the two main things it's going to talk about is God and humans, and it's going to talk about the righteous and the wicked. The righteous and the wicked, God and humans. It doesn't talk about the life to come, but it talks about the life that we have right now. And as Christian people, how many have been in a church that all you ever heard talked about was the life to come? Oh, we're just passing through this old horrible world. It's just a life of sin and sorrow. But one day, Beulah land, I'm longing. I mean, everybody knows all these songs about heaven. I'm not putting them down. I love songs about heaven. But we need some wisdom on how to live when we get out of bed in the morning. And that's what Proverbs is doing. And that's what I wanted to get on and talk about right now. I've heard it said, and I love this, Proverbs is the hard candy of the Bible. It's not to be chewed up quickly, but it's to be turned over and over in your mouth. And so I just want you to kind of get that nugget and over time chew on these principles. And they will teach you how to live and lead a successful life. Because if we can learn to live by some principles, my mom and daddy had some really good principles that I should live by. And as a child, oftentimes I found myself not living by them. I am all the time talking to everybody on staff about everyone that you are feeding life into. You've got to know we are doing that because we love them. And we do that to give them some principles to live by. But if we're not going to live by them, how can we expect them to? Parents, how would you expect your kids to live by something that you don't live by? And you'll find that over time, if you don't understand the knowledge behind Proverbs, then you won't live by it and you won't act upon them. All right, turn to Proverbs chapter 1. I said this is not going to be a verse-by-verse study, and tonight you'll think I was lying to you. Because I'm going to do some verse by verse tonight, chapter 1. And the reason I'm doing that is because we're setting this up. Wisdom is important. Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7 is just, it's one of those passages of scripture that I have modeled my life after. I really have. I think it's so important that we understand the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Chapter 1, verse 1, these are the Proverbs of Solomon. Verse 2 says, their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These Proverbs will give insight to the simple knowledge and discernment to the young. Are we not living in a day and time where we watch young people make really dumb decisions? They just don't discern. And these Proverbs, I'm just telling you, if we could get young to live by them, then they would be able to discern some things that I'm not watching in our world. Verse 5, let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise, and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. I want you to know that wisdom is always calling. Wisdom is used in the form of a person, and I want you to think about this. Wisdom is always saying, hey, I'm right here and I'm available for you. I mean, that's what Proverbs is right here and available. That's why I just challenged you last week, and I'll challenge you tonight, and I'll challenge you each week. Every day of the month, read a Proverbs. It's a great opportunity to get some real truth of the word, some principles of the word into your life. There are three ways that I want to talk about tonight that wisdom is calling us. We're going to start with the first one is its instruction. The second one, it's oftentimes it's calling us to know that there is temptation. Wisdom will let you be aware of temptation. So it's calling you and saying, hey, you better watch out. You better watch out here. And then it is also calling us to salvation. We'll get into that here in a moment. Chapter 1, verse 8. The instruction is given us here in verses 8 through 10. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. I always thought that these things might have been reversed and it would still work. Young people, understand this. My child, don't neglect your mother's instruction, or then you'll have to be listening while your father corrects you. But it says, my child, listen when your father corrects you. And I think one of the reasons dads will correct is so that they will listen to mom. Dads, it's important that we correct our children, but I want you to understand that God is saying this to us as his children. He's saying, my child, listen. Listen to correction. Don't neglect mom's instructions. There are instructions that are given to us, and it starts from a very early age. I have taught parenting for about 15, 16, 17 years. Michelle and I have, and we taught it while our kids were still in the position of being parented all the time. And I talk about it from four different stages. Obviously, as they start out in life, they are getting corrected all the time. And so you're in a corrective position all the time. And then they move into a training stage where you're training them, and it seems like all the time you're training them. Well, after they get trained, then you moved into being their coach, and you're, get after it. You're doing a great job. And they're going back, and they're referring to all of the things they were trained in. They can even go back and go, I got whooped for that one. So they can go back in their mind and go right back to the correction stage as they've been in the training stage, and then they move in the coaching stage. That's when they walk out of the house and they forgot their coat, and the coach doesn't say, go back in and get your coat. They watch you freeze all. So you might want to think about that before you walk out next time without a coat on. See, you're training them to make good decisions based on their failures at oftentimes. And you're training them by being a coach. So we got to go through these stages, and some of them overlap, but then you go into the fourth stage of parenting, and I love this stage. This is where we're at. It's the friendship stage. Now, let me just tell you, the friendship stage is a difficult stage. I thought it was going to be a great stage. But I watch things that my kids do, and I think, I want to go back and correct them. I didn't get the training in that I thought I should. Come on, every parent here has been right there. Well, Proverbs is in a place where you can read Proverbs and you can really quick understand that we missed oftentimes God's correction stage when we were on the milk of the word. Man, God's corrected me again. I thought I got past that whooping. Nope, there's instruction out of the word your whole life. And that's what I believe it's saying right here, to understand wisdom is going to call you the rest of your life. The wisdom's always going to say, oh, that was not a good decision. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. What you learn from them will crown you with grace. It'll be a chain of honor around your neck. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. I can't tell you the amount of friends that I had that my mom said, watch out for. I don't know that you need to be hanging with them. See, there's a warning here in the instruction. Be aware when someone says, be aware. There's some wisdom right there. If someone's saying, watch out, you might watch out. When mom says, watch out, I have learned when my wife says, I don't know, I'm discerning something a little wrong here. Oh, they're fine, baby. It's going to be okay. And then I walk on and I ignore that instruction, and that was wisdom that was calling me. Come on, men, you're not going to say anything, but right now a bunch of women need to be, see? I'm telling you. There are instructions that came in. There are warnings that come in. And I don't know if you've ever worked with someone that didn't heed warnings. And then you hung out with them and then you got in trouble at your job because you were listening to what some... I was working years ago at Kraft in Springfield while I was going to college, and I loved this place. But here was the thing. I tended to be on a lot of training. And so when they train you at Kraft, they put you with someone. And when they'd put me with someone, inevitably, I would have somebody say, don't do it the way they're doing it. But they're my trainer. I should duplicate myself in them. And they said, no, they're about ready to get fired. Well, then why did I have to have them train me? And so it was all the time this beware, beware, beware. And I learned that when someone said be aware and I didn't listen to them, usually I reap the benefit of stubbornness. I reap the benefit of not listening when someone gave me some instruction. See, the warning that is given here is you want to never receive unrighteous gain. Let's read verse 15. I know I'm skipping. I'll get back to the other part here in a second. Verse 15, my child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths. They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. But these people set an ambush for themselves, and they are trying to get themselves killed. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. Verse 15 says, stay away from the path of death. There's a way that seems right to a man, and then in the end, is death. And I can tell you, there are times that someone's yelling some instruction of be aware, and they're enticing you to come on in. When you recognize sin, I ask you tonight, what do you do with it when wisdom calls and says, hey, beware? Be aware here. I mean, I'm recognizing I need to get away from that. I'm going to tell stories from my life. They're my stories, and I'm not bringing glory to them. But I've got some stories that were complete foolishness on my part. And my mom already knows about them, so she would tell you these anyway. If you were to talk with her, she likes to tell stories on me. And so I love my mom, and I'm just going to get ahead of her on this one. But when I was a boy, I had friends in the same neighborhood I lived in. And the neighborhood that I lived in, they were always up to something. And I have 50 stories of what those somethings are. And a few times it produced the cops showing up at my friends' homes. And they would show up at our home. And a few times when they showed up, my parents weren't home. And I hid. Because I didn't want to be around when they showed up. And I knew that I was probably guilty by association. But here's what I did all the time. I protected my friends even though they were leading me to death. I just know that this right here is some wisdom for somebody, and Proverbs just dives right in, right off the beginning, in the first chapter. Here's what they wanted me to do. They wanted me to fill water balloons. Well, I don't know if you enjoy water balloons, but I like water balloons. And what we would do is we would fill water balloons, and we would stay out in a little tent at one of our friend's house in the back pasture. And so while we would stay in this tent, we would go to an outdoor spigot with a lot of water balloons being filled up in this spigot, and then we would put them in backpacks. And then we would go and hide. I probably shouldn't tell this story. There's too many young people in here. No, I'm already there now. Here we go. So I'm hiding in the ditch, and we would wait for a car to drive by. And then we would launch them and hope that they hit this car as they were driving by. We'd never seen an accident. We'd seen water hit cars several times, and we'd just laugh and holler. Well, here's what happened. One of my friends, unbeknownst to me, true story, I didn't know, put rocks in the water balloon. He had already gone ahead of everybody, and he put them in everybody's backpacks while we were filling them up. So we're out there hiding, and we're throwing rocks that I didn't know were rocks, thought they were water balloons. And we hit a window of a car. Well, this car didn't do like all the others. It screeched their brakes to a halt, parked a little off the side of the road, and jumped out and started running back to where the water balloons were, which was where I was. So we're in the field, and me and my friend, who has gone on to be with the Lord, John Allen, knew we were in major trouble. But he hadn't put the rocks in, and I hadn't. I still don't know which one of my friends had done this, But he comes in the woods, and of all the friends that I had, you know who was the slowest? Me. And John. They all ran track. We didn't. And so this guy's coming through the field, and this field has some stuff in it, and here we are laying down, and I mean, he's 10 foot away from me, and I am trying to avoid getting killed because he's yelling, "I have a gun. Show your face. I'm going to kill you." You talk about the fear of God. I was like, "We're dead. We're dead." John's like, "Don't say anything." I said, "Shut up." He finally leaves, and it's one of the times the police come the next day, and all the boys had to pay for a windshield of a car. That was all the trouble that we got in. But here's the thing. Can you imagine if his windshield would have busted, he wouldn't have been able to see, there'd have been another car. All these scenarios then entered my head, and I thought, I've got to quit going to this tent with these guys. At an early age, I had accepted Jesus, and he was all the time when I'm filling water balloons saying, "Hey, this is not a good idea." And I knew that the whole time, but I went on in with them. And here's what I'm telling you. Don't take this story and go fill up water balloons and throw them at cars. If I had made a peep, I could be dead this day. I noticed dude had a gun and he was mad and had every reason to be, not to shoot me. Verse 18, these people set an ambush for themselves. That's exactly what I did. Because of the friends I was hanging, and they're trying to get themselves killed. Are you being careful that you hear the wisdom of Proverbs as it's yelling out? Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. If you're trying to get fun out of someone else's failure, you can know really quick that your life's going to end miserable. When you recognize sin, my question is, what do you do with it? Do you get it away from you? Understanding God's processes are understanding that wisdom, and he's throwing it towards you all the times. He knows what is not wise. He knows when you should use wisdom. So I'm going to ask you, as we study in Proverbs, what is wisdom? Proverbs 3, verse 19 says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth." Psalm 104, verse 24 says, "O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions." You can recognize sin by seeing if it comes against his designs. If it comes against his plan or it destroys anything that he has made, you can know that wisdom's yelling at you saying, "Hey, wait, this is God's." That's why we ought to treat the earth correctly. It's his. He has the ownership. The earth is full of God's possessions. If you're going to hurt people, you can know that they're people that are God's possessions. Psalm just said that. And in wisdom, he made them. So when you are breaking his possessions, you are coming against his wisdom. That's how you recognize sin. And here's the greatest one of all. 1 Corinthians 1:30 is we're talking about wisdom. "But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God." I love that verse. But by his doing, God's doing, you're in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. All of those things. See, Jesus is your righteousness. He's your sanctification. He's your redemption. And if you know him as Lord and Savior, he is your wisdom. Now, when he went, he said, "I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit." And the Holy Spirit's the revealer of all truth. What is truth? Truth is the knowledge that you're in need of to act on and produce wisdom. I love this. Here's my second point tonight in how wisdom is yelling at us. Temptation. Chapter 1, let's go back to verse 11 through 14. Chapter 1, 11 through 14. Let me read that. They may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone. Just for fun, let's ambush the innocent. I just read some of that. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. Come throw in your lot with us. We'll all share the loot. Here's what's happened. Unrighteous gain is what it's talking about. We'll all join together and our lives will be better because we're going to take something from someone. We're going to get something at someone else's defeat. See, we're going to, here's why we operate with not a lot of concern about people here stealing from each other. Here's why. We love each other. The reason why I don't go over and steal your TV when I'm at your house is because I love you. So we can understand that when you have stealing or you have a taking of possessions or you have an idea that we're going to take something from someone, you're taking life from them. And as you're taking life from someone, what you are inevitably doing is you are not operating in wisdom. This talks about the temptation for unrighteous gain. Let me just always tell you, and you've watched it in our society, people want to win regardless of the cost to anyone else. As long as I can get some money, I don't care what it does to anybody else. That's why it's not okay to steal from the rich and give to the poor. It's a Robin Hood mentality, but there's not anything about that that's biblical. To him who has, one will be given. So we take some precedence from a thought process that wisdom says is not right thinking. And we're always wanting to get something. I love a book that's being taught right now. If you're not in Hannah's class on Sunday mornings, it's just Stephen Covey did a great job of explaining how we as God's people can operate based on biblical principles and we can be elevated to a place in life that doesn't have to put someone else down. There's a principle in Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People that I love. And it's called, in life, we ought to have win-win as God's people. When I want to buy something, I am not buying something to make someone else rich. I'm buying it because I thought it was more important to have that in my possession than the money in my pocket. They produce something of value, and they said, I'm hoping that someone wants to buy this more than I want to keep it in my possession. And so you get someone that buys something from someone, and it's a win for both sides. This side won because they created something valuable. This side won because they got something in their possession that was more important than leaving it in those. See, there's a win-win here. I just think it's important in all of life that we're not taking advantage of someone. You just took advantage of them for selling it at that price. No, I didn't. That was a win for them, and it was a win for me. Now, if I buy it and it breaks down the next week and I find out that they knew that it was going to break down the next week, that was unrighteous. Do you see what wisdom teaches you these principles in a profound way? But we've got to always know that if we're selling something, we need to disclose everything we know about it. But the temptation is to get unrighteous gain. Well, I know that the brakes are going out and it needs an alignment and these wheels are starting to wear, but I don't want to pay for the alignment, so I'm going to sell it and tell them that it's in a line and everything's good. That's unrighteous gain. That's not a win-win. Am I explaining enough for you to see the difference? So I want you to know that we've got to always be careful to understand that there's always a tempter. There's always a temptation. But there's also, just as much as you're tempted to do the wrong thing, there's wisdom hollering out to say, do the right thing. So why not just be tempted to do the right thing instead of always being tempted to do the wrong thing? Let's let wisdom holler out for us. All right, last point tonight. Chapter 1, verse 20 is salvation. Deliverance from sin, deliverance from its consequences, and you can know that wisdom is very easily defined because wisdom brings salvation to ignorance. It delivers you from being ignorant. without it, without being able to walk in it. Let's read chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. When I read that, I think she's going, Ashley, Ashley. And I'm going, yes, I'm right here. She's crying out to me. She calls to the crowds, Christian ministries. See, along the main street to those gathered in front of the city gate. And then she says this, how long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I'm going to laugh when you're in trouble. I'll mock you when disaster overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelm you. You might read that and go, well, that's not very nice. They're going to laugh whenever. No, what they're saying is wisdom's just giving characteristics of a person. And what they're saying is, I gave you all of this and you didn't take it. So joke's on you. I gave you everything you could have had. I gave you all that you could have had. Now, I don't see that that's God sitting here laughing at you. What I'm seeing is he gave you something, and it's foolish not to receive what he gave. Well, I don't want that gift. No, that's foolishness. Verse 28, when they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. For they hated knowledge. See, he already gave it to them, and they said, no, I don't want it. But you find yourself in a consequence that you could have got out of before you threw the water balloon. See, wisdom was already there. And now you find yourself going, oh man, I wish I'm not where I'm at. You rejected my advice, it says in verse 30, and paid no attention when I corrected it. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes, for simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. Here's salvation. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. Worry has to leave. There's a song we sing, worry has to leave, fear's got to go. When you're saved, the things that are not of God become real. When you ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life, did anybody go, I'm dealing with this, and now I'm made aware of it, and now I got to do something with that. I never thought about that before. And as you get more and more mature in the Lord, more things get recognized. See, when you are saved, when you know Jesus, there are things that you recognize that are on you that you say, this can't be on me anymore. What is that? That's sin. Today, Kenan Lamb was teaching our Bible class at CMA. And I had some things that I needed to learn as I sat there and listened to him. And I have preached the message of salvation for years. I've led our church in different avenues of how to share Jesus without fear. I've taught them. There's different ways of the four spiritual laws. There's lots of different things that you can teach, but they all boil down to, do you know Jesus? And here's what, as he was teaching this class, I just thought, as he asked the question, I couldn't get it out of my head. And I even after class, I told him, I'm going to be pondering this all day. I'm going to teach on it sometime. I had no idea I was going to teach on it tonight. But here's what he asked. What do you do with sin? As a Christian, what do you do with sin? And he said, there's not a wrong answer here, because he was talking to Christian young men and women. What do you do with it? And here was some of the things. What is sin now as a Christian? What is it? And someone said, it's forgiven. That was a good answer. And then we went through some others. It's washed. It's done away with. And I don't even know if they said it all, but in my mind, I just started going through a ton of things. It's wiped clean. I said, it's nailed. Nailed to the cross. It's cast. We said it's sunk. It's at the deepest part of the ocean. It's forgotten. Am I missing any Bible class? Was there any more we mentioned? Ken, is there any more we talked? Those are just a few that I was thinking that we talked about. And I just thought, okay, if it's cast, then it's thrown off of you. If it's nailed to something, it's put in to where it's not you that holds it anymore, the nail does. If it's forgiven and forgotten, then it can't be brought up again. If it's washed, that means it doesn't look dirty anymore. Who does all of that? Who wipes it? Who nails it? Who sees it as forgiven? Who casts it? All of those things are done by us, but they are done with the power of Jesus. We're the one who cast it, but we can't cast it without Jesus having done what he did. See, Jesus went to the cross so that you had an avenue to get sin off of you. I'm not looking at faces that look like my face did as he was talking. Maybe I am, because maybe I look just like you. You're looking at me like, you're thinking about it. All of a sudden, all of this only happens through someone other than yourself. It's only Jesus. It's only from someone other than yourself. Jesus is the only place you can cast sin. Well, I'm going to throw it on Deanne. That's foolishness, and that's what your friends did when you threw water balloons at cars. Let me just join everybody in on the same sin. You can't cast your sin on your friend. Your friend has to accept that sin with you. You can only cast your sin on Jesus. You can only be forgiven by Jesus. Yeah, I paid the price for that window, but I still had a price that had to be paid for that sin, and Jesus paid that one for me. And I just think about what was said here at the end of Proverbs. Wisdom is shouting out. Aren't you glad God shouted out to you and said, hey, let me tell you that Jesus is your wisdom. Jesus is your wisdom. Well, where'd you get that? Let me read it again. 1 Corinthians 1:30. By God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. The only way you can operate in wisdom is to know the one who possesses and is wisdom, and that's Jesus. That's it. Salvation is possible in no other name. It's only in the name of Jesus. We've got a lot of thoughts about how we want to get to a right thinking and right standing. We've got a whole idea of how we want to see our country turned over to right thinking. Jesus, my friend, is the only way. And we need some God people operating in wisdom, and that's why we're studying the book of Proverbs. Y'all stand with me this evening. Father, I'm grateful for your word and how it makes a difference in our life. Thank you. Thank you for the book of Proverbs and for teaching us through your word how we can have knowledge and we can make that application, and we can be your hands and feet operating in wisdom because Jesus is in us. I thank you for this book and how it's going to impact our lives profoundly. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless y'all. Have a good night.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.